Here's the first clue. The dead will die again. Not possible, you grumble. But a coward dies 1,000 times and a brave man just once. And honestly, I'm a bit of both. So is our narrator, that would be me, dead or alive? It doesn't much matter because my job is to deliver some blood on the very first page. Mine, hers, his. You want a body, and I want to give you one. This should be easy since I'm on a killing spree. Actually, I'm just a college professor who drives a 4-door Honda, but it happens to be midnight in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the witching hour, when darkness hisses with spooky noises and creepy strangers contemplate unspeakable acts, such as luring a waitress into a fatal trap. Here comes one now, emerging from the dumpster-shadowed rear of a TGI Fridays. Even though I'm sitting in the Honda, she glances over in my direction, not suspiciously, more of a cursory assessment of her surroundings. There is a cell phone in my hand, and you might want to know what I'm doing with it. I'll divulge only that I was checking on the operating hours of the aforementioned TGI Fridays and just learned that it closes at midnight, which has just struck. So, for a late dinner, I'll have to rummage through a nearby convenience store. But first, let me work up an appetite. The waitress continues walking toward her car, which is parked not far from mine. Something tells me that she is unhappy with not just her life, but all lives. Her work shift probably demeaned her in a million ways, from fussy manager to rude customers, and now she heads home to a cramped apartment and an aging cat whose vet bills she can ill afford. She isn't scowling, but more bemoaning in silence all that accosts her, and with grace and mercy, I'll end her troubles with a single shot to the head. I jest. I don't even own a gun. I understand I need to deliver a corpse, and I take this task seriously. It's all I have left to live for. My goal? My ultimate purpose? I want you to disentangle. As the great Edgar Allan Poe tells us, the analyst glories in that moral activity. In the end, what will we discover? That the dead never actually die? Or that the living never really live? In the city of Richmond, Virginia, the distinction between the living and the dead can get blurry on account of the Confederate ghosts who haunt the cobblestone streets. And who is Richmond's most celebrated literary son? Why, none other than Edgar A. Poe himself. Where did Poe spend the last few months of his life before he mysteriously died? Some say he was murdered, and if he was indeed targeted, his killers were to be found in, yes, Richmond, the RVA. And me? Well, I'm driving to Richmond as fate would have it, returning to my hometown for the first time in many years for my mother's wedding. But you'll have to wait for the details because I hate it when hack authors dump the backstory like a load of mulch. The waitress is passing about 15 feet in front of me. Time to pounce. I hop out of my car. Can I ask you a question? I call out to her just as she pushes a button to unlock her soul, made by Kia. Butterflies flutter away in my empty stomach that churns with tumult. I adore women who teeter on the brink of collapse, and I often dream of rescuing trapped damsels from bad boyfriends or crushing solitude. Sure, she replies after some hesitation. She must have concluded that I pose little risk and thus has the uncanny ability to see right through me. Or she has a blind spot that will be her undoing. Is there a place nearby where I can get some decent food? She mulls over this question asked by someone she thinks is harmless. In her defense, it's true that I appear to be an unlikely murderer. After all, my current occupation is instructor of composition, Notting College, a leafy liberal arts school in Ithaca, New York, a town better known for being the home of Cornell University, where the great Nabokov taught. My rented flat on North Plain Street sits across from the Ballet Academy, whose prima ballerina was said to be the real-life inspiration for Lolita. The crone is over 80 now and can be found in the lobby of the YMCA, perched in a wheelchair while chain-smoking Lucky Strikes. I've been too ashamed to ask her about Vlad, and anyway, talking to strangers makes my stomach cramp. And she's probably a liar, like the rest of us. But the salient question is, could I kill someone? Well, obviously. Under the right circumstances, anyone is capable of homicide. My closest friends, who number in the low single digits, would describe me as mild-mannered. My ex-wife would contend that I lacked the blind ambition to kill, and what great killer ever lacked the atavistic drive to dominate? My students have evaluated me as effective, somewhat bland, slow to return graded papers, but genial. So where is the red flag, the dark side, the demonic urge? It is located in the bedroom, where it always resides. So let's delve deeper into my primal cave. Do I possess a deviant sex life? Perversions powerful enough to impel me to impulsive acts? Hey, remember that casual reference to my ex-wife? Of all people, she'd be in the best position to offer credence to the twisted killer hypothesis now under discussion. Usually she'd love to tell you all about my major issues and hang-ups, but these days she's too busy being in love with her new boyfriend. Yes, I'm insanely jealous, but I wish only the best for Bev and want very much for us to renew our friendship that has been strained the last 2 years.